7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Autism is the subject of new studies which help illuminate, at least. CBS's Jim Taylor.
It does seem so simple. Even though autism isn't usually diagnosed until 3 or even 4, this latest research suggests that at the age of 1 year, if your baby does not respond to its name, they may be more likely to one day be diagnosed with a developmental disorder like autism. The earlier such a disorder is identified, the earlier the possibility of intervention and treatment.
One in 150 kids is diagnosed with it. Kids seem disconnected in their own little world. There is no cure, but things can improve a lot if you get onto it early. During an autistic person's lifetime, the cost to society is huge, estimated at $3.5 million. The Supreme Court has told the Bush administration the EPA must also deal with pollution from vehicles. Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal says it's a victory for the fight to stop global warming.
The administration will be compelled to obey the law and set safeguards for these very dangerous emissions.
He's talking primarily of carbon dioxide. CBS's Wyatt Andrews.
Significantly, the ruling might apply not just to cars, but to power plant emissions. The White House said it was studying the decision, but again argued America can't restrict greenhouse gases unless the competition, China and India, do the same.
France's bullet train will try to break its own record. One of the TGV trains plans to break the old record of 320 miles an hour on a stretch of track between Paris and eastern France. Two engines pulling just three double-decker cars. The goal, 335 miles an hour. Would be smoking. An American citizen, a businessman who went to Iran on a business trip several weeks ago, is missing, and no one, not even the State Department, knows what's happened to him. We don't know his name. From Iran, nothing. In the meantime, Iranian officials are signaling a willingness to end the standoff with Britain over capturing British sailors and Marines in disputed waters between Iraq and Iran. CBS's Charlie Daggett in London.
A hint of a breakthrough broadcast live on British TV. Iran's chief negotiator told Channel 4 News his country wants to resolve the crisis of the 15 captured British troops through diplomacy rather than making the forces face trial for trespassing. British officials have confirmed they've been in direct contact with the Iranians, discussing ways of avoiding such situations in the future.
The Tribune Company has announced plans to sell one of the most storied baseball franchises in the game. The Chicago Cubs will be sold at the end of the season, sold for the 100th anniversary year of the Cubs' last World Series championship. That would be next year, of course. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 28 points today. The Nasdaq was up just a fraction in oil. At $65.94 a barrel was up 15 pennies. This is CBS News.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our design print and ship depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Hello, America. It's time to play Take on Orbitz, the travel game where you could save $100 on your next hotel stay. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbitz.com during the Plan Your Escape hotel sale and save $100 on 5 nights at select hotels nearly anywhere in the world. So if work is wearing you out or your neighbors are driving you nutty, plan your escape and pick your hotel right now at Orbitz.com.
Save $100 off 5+ nights on select hotels. Valid for travel May 1st through December 20th. Book by April 30th, 2007. See site for terms and conditions.
It's so dusty with pollen in the Southland. Criminals are hiding from police in the dusts of flowers and trees. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula explains.
The yellow haze, a fine dust across much of the southeast, is making it hard for police to gather fingerprints at crime scenes. It's thick enough to hide fingerprints on things like cars and outdoor furniture. The pollen explosion is especially bad this year because of a lack of rain and an earlier start to spring. Doctors across the southeast are being swamped by countless people suffering from seasonal allergies. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
There was a make-believe volcano in a water park swimming pool in Duluth, Minnesota, until last week, when the loudspeaker inside it shorted and caught fire. The big plastic volcano started belching smoke and flame. It acted like a chimney. People in the Edgewater Hotel and Water Park fled into the parking lot barefoot, and the volcano melted right into the pool. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Get the good stuff.
Here's something to think about. Engines with over 75,000 miles on them can burn oil, shortening their life. Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil has added ingredients to condition seals that can help extend the life of your engine. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil for only $2.99 per quart. And check out our great prices on other Castrol motor oils. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Peter B. Collins.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Yes, welcome, friends. It's a beautiful day on the left coast, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We have only 3 hours to discuss the most pressing issues of the day, and we're going to do our doggone best. On the Peter B. Collins Show today, we'll kick it off with a review of the media's performance in the past week. Jameson Fosser will join us in just a moment from Media Matters for America. Coming up in about half an hour, the author of a book called With God on Our Side, Mikey Weinstein. That's what he likes to be called, Mikey. He graduated from the Air Force Academy. He's got a son there now, and another son graduated from there, a daughter-in-law. And he is very concerned, as an observant Jew, that Christianity is being forced down the throats of cadets there at the Air Force Academy. And he's so concerned about it, he's the founder of Military Religious Freedom Foundation. He'll be joining us later this hour. Also on today's program, David Dionisi. He's a recovering Republican. That's what it says on the book jacket. He's written a powerful book called American Hiroshima. And we'll talk about that and his ideas for disarming the nuclear powers and creating a more peaceful world. It's all the more remarkable coming from a retired Army intelligence officer who, as he tells us, is a former Republican. And Howard Fox, an attorney with Earth Justice, will join us in our second hour to talk about the stunning Supreme Court decision today, a sharp rebuke of the Bush administration. It basically says that, yes, the Environmental Protection Agency can and should control CO2 emissions and other pollutants. The tortured comments from the Bush administration, notwithstanding a laundry list of them, according to Justice John Paul Stevens, who wrote the majority opinion. And no surprise, the quartet opposed Roberts, Alito, Scalia, and Thomas. That's all ahead. We've got room for your phone calls whenever you'd like to join us. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Jameson Foser is at Media Matters for America. You got to visit their website, mediamatters.org. They monitor the corporate media in this country, and when that media doesn't get it right, you can read all about it at mediamatters.org. J-Mo, how are you today?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Now, let me ask you this. Do you actually subscribe to Time Magazine?
I do not.
I'm a former subscriber, but I gave up quite a while ago because when, I don't know, at a certain point, it seemed that the People page became the whole magazine, and it's just kind of a slightly more newsy edition of People magazine.
That's pretty harsh, Peter.
Well, I'll pick
it
up.
The People.
I see. Well, I occasionally pick it up on an airplane when it's free, but I gave up on it a long time ago. Your column, published at MediaMatters.org on Friday, takes Time Magazine to task on at least three different fronts. Tell us about it.
Well, it really struck me last week how badly out of touch Time has been lately on a range of issues, and I went through a few of those. The first of which was that Time's Washington Bureau Chief Jay Carney last week wrote an article about a new Time poll in which he suggested that the poll showed that in head-to-head matchups, the Republican candidates defeated the Democratic candidates. And he did that by looking at the results that the poll showed of the matchups between hypothetical general election matchups between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and John McCain and Rudy Giuliani. But what Carney ignored was the fact that his own poll had also included matchups between Clinton and Obama and Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. And in those matchups, Clinton and Obama beat Romney badly by 17 and 24 points. And he just kind of disappeared that from his article about this so that he could make his point that voters were preferring the Republican candidates. In the print edition, it turns out that Anna Marie Cox, who's the who's Times website's Washington editor, did the same thing. She said that when voters compare the frontrunners of the two parties head-to-head, they choose the Republican every time. Well, they don't, as Times poll showed. That's just a completely dishonest telling of what Times' own polling shows. And so then I kind of continued on, and Carney has also written a great deal lately about John Edwards and the decision that John and Elizabeth Edwards made to continue his campaign for president after finding out that Elizabeth Edwards' cancer has returned. And Carney wrote that, you know, he wasn't comfortable with that decision and that people all across the country were uncomfortable with that decision.
Did he use the phrase, some people say?
Very similar. He said that he doesn't think it's inappropriate or unfair to say I was discomfited by the decision or to point out that other people might feel the same way. And he wrote several things in which he asserted that people across the country, lots of people are going to find this uncomfortable. But he never cited any polling. And had he done so, he would have found that all of the public polling that's been conducted since they made this announcement found that people overwhelmingly support their decision by a margin of greater than 2-1. Carney also wrote last week that Democrats face a disadvantage in 2008 because voters have long taken Republicans more seriously on national security issues. Well, that's something we've been dealing with at Media Matters for like 2 years, that the media continues to report that, and it's no longer true. Years ago, it was. In 2002, public polling showed that Republicans had a 30-point advantage on national security issues. That's gone now and has been gone for more than a year, but reporters don't seem to understand that yet, and so Carney keeps writing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also looked at Time's coverage or lack thereof of the U.S. attorney firings, which Carney had initially dismissed when the story first broke and then had ultimately acknowledged that he was wrong and there was a story there, but that about a week ago, Time's managing editor Rick Stengel had kind of been dismissive of on television, And then one of the reporters, Karen Tumulty, made dismissive comments about Time's blog last week. And then by the end of the week, when the print edition of the magazine came out, sure enough, there wasn't a single story in the magazine about this growing scandal. Last week, among other things, a top Justice Department aide said that she would plead the fifth rather than giving incriminating testimony.
That's Monica Goodling, yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Another aide basically testified that Alberto Gonzalez hadn't told the truth.
He just said that the comments were inaccurate.
They were inaccurate, right? and so Time didn't bother to cover this at all, just not a single story.
That's breathtaking.
That is breathtaking. So and what today,
JMO, did they have room for the entire list of the contents of Anna Nicole Smith's bloodstream based on the autopsy?
Well, you know, that's important stuff, Peter.
I'm just trying to compare their and get a sense of their priorities. I'm sure they had lengthy coverage of that autopsy report.
One thing that we compared today, a sort of a follow-up to this column, was we compared the amount of coverage that Time has given the story to the amount given by Newsweek, and we found that Time has covered the story less than one-third as much as Newsweek has. If you go back to that comment that Rick Stengel, Time's managing editor, made on the Chris Matthews show about a week ago, that sort of got at what I think is driving some journalists in their commentary about this investigation. He kind of compared it to some of the investigations that Republicans conducted of Bill Clinton in the 90s, and that's something that a lot of journalists have been doing, is suggesting that Democrats might not want to pursue this because it may backfire on them. There may be a backlash, like there was a backlash against Republicans. That's, again, a really good indication of how out of touch journalists are with the American people. The investigations of Bill Clinton are not at all analogous to the investigations of George Bush for a couple reasons. One is that Bill Clinton was a very popular president at the time that he was being investigated. George Bush is, at this point, a historically unpopular president.
Yeah.
But the other is that in the 90s, the kinds of things the Republicans were investigating were the White House Christmas card lists, and you had Republican members of Congress shooting produce in their backyard to try to prove some crazy conspiracy theory that Bill Clinton had murdered Vince Foster.
Oh, don't be so kind as to not name Dan Burton.
Okay, it was Dan Burton. That's not even remotely like the investigations that congressional Democrats are pursuing now into this prosecutor purge, which there's every reason to believe the Bush administration, at the very least, has not told the truth about, and into things like the administration's handling of the Iraq War. Those are serious investigations about serious topics that every available polling shows the American people want to continue.
Yeah.
So you have a situation where in the 90s the media was largely acting as cheerleaders for these ridiculous investigations that the public didn't like into a president that they did like. And now you have a situation where the media is warning Democrats not to go forward with serious investigations that the public does want.
Well, and trying to cast the public as disinterested in these issues.
Right, when really it's just them who are disinterested.
Right. All right. JMO, we're going to take a quick break and return. John McCain took a stroll in Baghdad yesterday, only needed 3 helicopters and 100 armed men to escort him. And Matt Drudge has reported what appears to be a flat-out lie about a CNN reporter. We'll deal with that next as we continue with Jameson Foser from MediaMatters.org. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens,
He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. We're kicking off our Monday with Jameson J-Mo Foser from Media Matters for America, rating the coverage of the past week. And let's next jump to a story from the last 24 hours here, J-Mo. And this is kind of remarkable. Before we explain what Matt Drudge reported, why don't we play the denial? This is the voice of Michael Ware, CNN correspondent in Baghdad.
Let me ask you a question. There was a report that said you were heckling and you were laughing during the senator's press conference. Is that true?
Well, let's bear in mind that this is a report that was leaked by an unnamed official of some kind to a blog, to somewhere on the internet. No one has gone and put their name forward. We certainly haven't heard Senator McCain say anything about it, or any of his staff have come forward to say anything about it. I did not heckle the senator. Indeed, I didn't say a word. I didn't even ask a question. In fact, when I raised my hand to ask a question, the press conference abruptly ended. So what I would suggest is that anyone who has any queries about whether I heckled, watch the videotape of the press conference.
So that's Soledad O'Brien on the CNN Morning News with Michael Ware checking in from Baghdad with his full Australian accent. And this is kind of remarkable, J-Mo, because he's issuing a complete and utter flat denial. And I guess Matt Drudge has some susplaining to do.
He does. I doubt we'll see that explaining. It's worth noting also that rawstory.com has obtained footage of the press conference in question and posted it on their website, and it does not show Michael Ware heckling anybody.
Did anybody heckle anybody?
Anybody heckling John McCain.
So it was a heckle-free zone.
It was a heckle-free zone. So people can check that out if they want at Rawstory's website. It's linked on ours, mediamatters.org.
Okay.
This is unfortunately kind of typical of how things work at this point. Matt Drudge makes things up. It's what he does. He's not a truthful person, and he makes things up that benefit conservatives. That's what he does. And he apparently has made something up here. He made up a report that Michael Ware had heckled John McCain. He didn't offer any evidence for it other than a supposed quote from a supposed official who he didn't describe in any way. And unfortunately, because this is how things work, the conservative blogs and major media picked it up and ran with it. And the Washington Times reported it based on Drudge's allegation. CNN was asking Michael Ware questions about it based on nothing more than Matt Drudge.
Now, you would think that the Republican spinmeisters would want this story to play as is. Here, brave John McCain took a stroll in a market a couple of miles from the Green Zone in Baghdad yesterday to try to prove his point that the surge is working and that things are calmer. Now, when you look at the real facts, there were 100 armed soldiers who accompanied him on his stroll, and 3 helicopters were hovering overhead to try to maintain maximum security for the stroll of McCain and Graham.
Well, and apparently they were keeping many of the non-military and non-McCain visitors to this market secluded on one side of the street, away from McCain. Some of the coverage of this that's taken McCain's trip there sort of at face value and not pointed out the extent to which he had protection has been irresponsible. And certainly the coverage that we've seen of Drudge's claims about Ware is irresponsible on the face for any news organization to just report anything that comes from Matt Drudge without looking into it first. And it seems to have kind of backfired on them on this one now that there's, you know, video that suggests that he was wrong.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we'll follow this one further. Now, Bill Kristol went on a very, you know, hostile news show yesterday. He was on Fox News Sunday, where the Weekly Standard editor attacked Nancy Pelosi. Let's listen.
Undercut our troops in the field is now going off to Syria.
I want to start with that clip again. Here we go.
Nancy Pelosi, having undercut our troops in the field, is now going off to Syria to pay her respects to Bashar Assad, who's allowing terrorists and to come across the border to kill American troops.
So that was a smarmy little attack in less than 10 seconds. And, of course, Bill Kristol just didn't have time to mention that there's at least one Republican on this trip with Pelosi. And separately, 4 other Republicans are actually preceding her into Damascus.
Yeah, this is a White House attack on Nancy Pelosi for going to Syria that is kind of odd, given that several Republican members of Congress are doing exactly the same thing. But what's even more odd is the number of news organizations that have repeated that White House attack without noting the fact that Republican members of Congress are doing precisely the same thing. Bill Kristol's attack on Nancy Pelosi there was smarmy and dishonest, but that's Bill Kristol. Maybe you're not surprised. What's a little bit more surprising, or should be, or ideally would be, is that CNN and the Wall Street Journal and CBS and countless other news organizations have reported that the White House is criticizing Nancy Pelosi's trip to Syria, and they're not pointing out that 3 Republican members of Congress are also going to Syria to meet with Syria's president. It's really extraordinary. Just when I was sitting here during one of these breaks, I saw on my television that Lou Dobbs is doing yet another story on this, and the big chyron at the bottom of the screen was Pelosi's bad trip.
Wow. And, of course, they don't have time to point out that this is consistent with the Baker-Hamilton Iraq Study Group conclusions. I don't embrace all of those conclusions, but I have to say that there is consistency here on Pelosi's part. Hard to find that on the other side.
Well, and the other thing that you don't see is none of these news reports involve any of the reporters asking the White House, hey, isn't one of the things that we've learned in the last few years that maybe diplomacy is worth thinking about?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Instead, they just uncritically report the White House is attacking Nancy Pelosi for going to Syria. They don't mention that Republicans are going to. They rarely mention the Baker-Hamilton report, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody asks them, you know, what's wrong with this?
Yeah. Very interesting, JMO. Thanks for your work, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Jameson Foser, MediaMatters.org. Visit their website. A lot of powerful information there, and you can view it for yourself. Coming up next, the Christian military makes Mikey Weinstein uncomfortable. He'll join us next to talk about the new book, With God on Our Side, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, and we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. 33 minutes after the hour.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger than you. You are not me. The links that I will go to. The distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I set it up.
Well, that would be me in the corner.
That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot. Life losing my religion.
What happens when an observant Jew attends the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs? Are they subjected to indoctrination of a Christian nature that is un-American and a violation of the military protocols? Mikey Weinstein's an impressive guy. He's been on this show several times, and the first time I interviewed him, I knew he had a book coming out, but I didn't know the name of it. So I played this song. It's an old Bob Dylan one.
My name is Neil.
Yeah, that's the Bob Dylan song remade by Wire Train, a San Francisco band in the 80s. It's called God on Our Side. And that's the name of Mikey Weinstein's book, With God on Our Side. Mikey, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B. Collins, there's nothing better than starting off the first day of Passover with this being on this wonderful show of yours.
Well, thank you for taking time out of a special day like this to join us. And Shavana Tova, is that the right greeting?
Chag Sameach, it's close enough.
Okay. You can tell. I'm a solid member of the Goyim.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I do appreciate it. And I at one point thought, wow, it's really special for him to visit with us on Passover, the first night. And at the same time, I couldn't think of a better time for you to espouse your views as an observant Jew who graduated from the Air Force Academy. And I got to get all this correct here. You're the son of a Naval Academy distinguished graduate, father of a current Air Force Academy cadet, father and father-in-law of two recent Air Force Academy graduates, and you are also the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And all of this really revolves around your efforts to try to keep religion from being imposed on your sons and others at the Air Force Academy and the other military institutions.
That's right. Actually, for your listeners today, the key metric to remember is just two numbers, Peter. That would be 737 and 132. 737 and 132. Today we have 737 U.S. military installations that are scattered in 132 countries around the world. It's like we're garrisoning the planet. And on every one of them now, we have an officer's Christian fellowship for the officers and a Christian military fellowship for the enlisted. And in case you're, you know, some of the listeners may not know the difference between officer and enlisted, but if you think of MASH, Trapper John and Hawkeye and Colonel Potter are officers, Klinger and Radar are enlisted. But
right.
These organizations have a tripartite, a three-level goal, and their goal is very simple. They want to see, number one, a spiritually transformed U.S. military, number two, with ambassadors for Christ in uniform, number three, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, my foundation, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and with a shameless plug, can be found at militaryreligiousfreedom.org, and my book, our whole movement, we're not a complex meal. We're not Chateaubriand. We're a hamburger. We're simply saying, look, you can. There is a time and a place, you know, that you can impose or try to impose upon others, you know, your version of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in the military. I mean, we do have thousands of chapels in the in the U.S. Marine Corps, Navy, Army, and Air Force, and thousands of chaplains. We're not trying to take anybody's warm, cuddly Jesus teddy bear or Moses teddy bear or Allah teddy bear or, you know, or Vishnu teddy bear away. We're simply saying there's a time and a place, and listen, U.S. military, at all 737 of your installations, including those there in the Bay Area, you know, you're going to be at least constrained by our Constitution to the same extent that a shift manager would be constrained, say, at Starbucks or Wendy's or Walgreens. I mean, if you want to see a Fortune 1000 CEO, Peter, brought to his or her knees, have the most junior employee at that company raise their hand and claim that during the workday they're being evangelized. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a blatant violation of Title VII of the U.S. Code. Every member of the Fortune 1000 knows that. Even if it's done without specific intent, the concept is known as disparate impact versus disparate treatment. And you know, but in the military, you know, this isn't rocket science. It's a trillion times worse because we have the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Your boss isn't just your boss. It's your military superior. I mean, in the military, having sexual intercourse with someone other than your spouse, adultery is still punishable as a felony. In the military, if you're told to go to the, you know, if you're ordered to go to the base dentist at 4 p.m. and you don't go, it's a felony. You know, so it's, I mean, we have regulations that have been passed by the Pentagon. I mean, I can't make this stuff up, that prohibit superiors up and down the military chain of command, Peter, from imposing and trying to push Amway, Mary Kay Cosmetics, and Tupperware on subordinates. But what we're seeing is a massive tidal wave of this far right fundamentalist Christianity. And I come to you and your listeners today once again on this wonderful show as a man with the gun smoke in my face, Peter. I mean, we're at war, but not with Christianity, and we're not at a war with evangelical Christianity. We have a number of evangelical Christians that wholeheartedly support the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, love my book, of a whole movement. Mm-hmm. There is, however, a subset, I know you and I have spoken about this before, with a long, long technical name that I promised during the course of the program today. I'll only say this one time, but the actual title of it, they're called Premillennial Dispensational Reconstructionist Dominionist Evangelical Fundamentalist Christians, or for what's short, just, you know, Dominionist Fundamentalist Christians. You know the leaders, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Ted Haggard used to be one until he, you know, developed a whole new meaning for the phrase, Satan, get thee behind me. You know, and, you know, so you know the people that are there. These are the people, and there is no discussion. There is no talking between
and
their
only,
side and our side.
And only Satan used the meth.
That's exactly right. You know, so what we're saying is, we don't need to have a bunch of guidelines. Now, our foundation is about to come out with our version because everybody thinks that's what we need. The military has come out in the last 18 months since we've been in the battle for 38 months, but we forced them to come out with something called the Interim Religious Guidelines, and then 6 months later revised Interim Religious Guidelines. And, you know, the Pentagon doesn't need Interim Religious Guidelines. What they need is to stop viewing the Constitution as an interim religious guideline.
Mm-hmm. And just for the record, I want to identify that you're not a member of the loony left. You served as an attorney in the Reagan administration.
Yes.
And you served in the Air Force with some distinction as a JAG, a Judge Advocate General.
I'm an Air Force Academy graduate. When my youngest son, God willing, graduates next month from the Air Force Academy, he'll be the sixth member of my family to go there. I'm a Republican. I spent 3.5 years in the West Wing of the Reagan White House. I managed the Iran-Contra investigation as the committee management officer at the White House. My family has 3 consecutive generations of military academy graduates in it and over 120 years of combined active duty military service in every combat situation the country's been in, from you know, World War I to the current, you know, so-called global war and terror. So I know the religious right would love for me to be if they could cast me as a Chardonnay sipping, no pun intended, but you know, Northern California, Sierra Club, tree hugging, bleeding heart liberal. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that. You know, sorry, I'm not. I'm just an American, and yes, I happen to be an American of Jewish faith. I'm very proud of my Jewish culture. You know, but I don't wake up each day, and the first thing in my mind is what's best for Israel. I think what's best for my country, America, and I also, you know, look. The bottom line is that it seems as though that certitude in the afterlife, Peter, is just completely incompatible with tolerance in this life. And we don't really even want tolerance. We just want what Aretha Franklin sang about, We want, you know, respect between, and this is right out of seven, 200 straight years of U.S. Supreme Court case law. We want neutrality between religion and religion, and even between the concept of religion to no religion. I mean, what's so hard to understand about that?
Yeah. Well, I believe in freedom of and freedom from religion, and I think that each side of that equation is equally important. Now, Mikey, talk a little bit about Colorado Springs, because you went to you graduated from the Air Force Academy yourself, and it must have been a very different place before Ted Haggard and all the evangelical Christians moved in. We also have the backdrop of the 80s and 90s, which were the wild days at the Air Force Academy, when women were groped and sexually harassed and in some cases raped. And so this seesaw effect, these very extremes coming from one town and centered around this important institution, strike me as very odd.
You know, it's true. Over 100 of the nation's largest evangelical organizations, everything from Cowboys for Christ to the Navigators to Haggard's New Life Church and Focus on the Fascists. Oh, did I say that? I meant Focus on the Family. You know, they refer to Colorado Springs as the Protestant Vatican. And I don't know why, but like moths to a flame, they kind of were attracted to this, you know, this beautiful, you know, Eastern Slope, Colorado City.
Mm-hmm.
We think around that it was started around the late 1970s. I came to the Academy in 1973 and graduated in 77, and I love the Academy. I mean, I tell people that it's much like watching that Disney movie, Old Yeller, you know, the last scene. I mean, everybody cries at Old Yeller because the guy has to shoot his dog. Well, Peter, that's how I feel. You know, my wife and I have given a lot of our time, effort, energy, blood, sweat, money, and three children, you know, to the Academy. And when you're facing a situation where, you know, the Pentagon has become the Pentecostal gone, and this particular idiot in the White House and his administration have turned our very honorable and noble U.S. military into a faith-based initiative, and the engines for our military, you know, they're Annapolis, they're West Point, and they're the Air Force. It's the Air Force Academy. And imagine my shock when in 2004, right on the heels of the Air Force Academy crowing about how it had now, quote, fixed the sexual assault scandal, I found out that the most popular joke at the Air Force Academy, I'm not sure if you or your listeners know this one, but did you know why Jews make the best magicians, Peter?
No, tell me, Mikey.
Jews make the best magicians because they have the magical ability to walk into a red brick building and come out the smokestacks in a puff of smoke.
Oh.
I was finding that...
I wasn't quite ready for that.
No, I mean, it's astonishing when you realize that Dr. Dobson opened up Focus on the Family in 1993, some idiot prince at the Air Force Academy and the Pentagon thought it'd be a great idea to have the Air Force Academy's famous parachute jump team, the Wings of Blue, parachute down out of the azure blue Colorado Springs skies. I can't make this stuff up. Carrying, I kid you not, the keys of heaven. They landed on the front lawn of Focus on the Family, picked up their parachutes, marched in formation, and delivered the keys of heaven to the good Dr. Dobson. He's the one who just, you know, the last week said that Fred Thompson, the senator, really wasn't a Christian, and therefore, you know, really doubted whether he should be, you know, eligible for anyone to consider voting for president. Now, it's not just the First Amendment that these monsters that we're fighting, this imperious fascistic contagion. You know, it's if you just go to the body of the Constitution, and most lawyers don't even remember this from law school, but Clause 3, Article 6 states that, and it shows the brilliance of our founding fathers, Peter, that we will never have a religion test for any position in the federal government. So I put it to you and your listeners today that if Dr. Dobson is saying that you have to be his type of Christian to run for office, tell me how that isn't a seditious or treasonous statement.
Well, I I can't refute that. And also, I'm just focused on this idea of the keys to heaven. And, you know, you just wonder why God has to lock the gates. Maybe to keep people like Dobson out. We're going to take a break and return with Michael L. Weinstein. His book is With God on Our Side. If you have a question or comment, call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where it's 9 minutes away from the hour. And here on Passover, we're delighted to feature Mikey Weinstein. His book is out, called With God on Our Side. And it's from that great Jewish publishing house, St. Martin's Press, the Thomas Dunn Books Division. Oh, it just shows, Mikey, that you're very open-minded and, you know, not hung up on these issues, but you want the law observed. Tell the story about how you were hazed along religious lines when you were at the Air Force Academy, and how somebody who wouldn't even name himself tried to swiftboat you with that when you started this latest effort over the last year and a half.
Yeah, this is something that was a very, very dark secret that just, I mean, less than 8 or 9 people were aware of. When I was 18 years old at the academy, I really came face-to-face the first time in my life with serious anti-Semitism, but it was not at all systemic. It was clearly an anomaly, and I didn't want to put it in the book. I mean, the St. Martin's people insisted, they thought it was important for the arc, and, you know, we now have a movie deal on the book, so it was hard for me to write it, and it's probably hard to read it. It's chapters 18 through 20 in the book. It's 24 pages. But basically, what happened was at the academy, I was assaulted twice within a period of about 8 days. I was knocked unconscious both times. My 2 Christian roommates and myself, I were there and witnessed as I received 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 swastika notes that were shoved under the door with a swastika, and usually with phrases like, "You can run, Jew, but you can't hide." They threatened to blow up my airplane going back home for Thanksgiving leave.
I was pretty much in a state of shock. I had no idea how this was happening. My roommates didn't know. The academy was never able to catch the people who did it, and they just never caught them. At the end of the so-called investigation, there was a person there that decided they wanted me to sign a confession that I must have been doing this to myself. Now, I'm pretty good, but I don't know how I could beat myself senseless twice, and how telekinetically I could make swastika notes come under the door with both my roommates watching it happen. When I was accused of this, I was 18 years old. I'd like to say I was like Rambo and I hit this guy, but I did hit the officer who said it to me. I was crying at the time, ran back to my room and waited to be shot. But the academy never did anything. All the rest of my 4 years there, they never said a thing about it. Hmm. We filed a Freedom of Information Act request with my publishers, watching closely, and the academy came back and said, no, I mean, because I graduated magna cum laude, an honor graduate. I was a varsity athlete there. I was on what's called the superintendent's list every semester, which is for grades and military bearing. And they came back and said, oh, we have nothing, nothing. This never, it was like it never happened. Fortunately, one of the Air Force officers that was assigned to protect me is now a state judge in Colorado Springs. And that became important when after I made a television appearance on, I think it was Hardball with Chris Matthews, in May of 2005, almost 2 years ago now, I found out that the religious right had sent letters to the press and to the academy claiming that I'd been caught as a fourth classman or freshman. The term is actually dually at the Air Force Academy as a plebe at West Point in Annapolis. I'd been caught putting swastika notes, Peter, on my own door by the cadet chain of command, that they'd considered court-martialing me and putting me before an honor code, a violation board, but then they figured I was just trying to get attention. So they put me, out of the kindness of their heart into a long counseling program. I had never even told my own children about this. My wife knew, my parents knew. I had to tell my family about it, other than my wife. I hired special lawyers who tracked down the people who wrote the letter, found them. In 5 minutes, they signed a complete retraction, which we sent back to the press and to the academy. But it showed you the degree to which these people were coming after me for simply trying to have constitutional equanimity in this country and prevent them from perpetrating felony against felony after felony against our democracy. But it didn't stop there. We've had dead animals placed on our front door. We've had feces and beer bottles thrown at the house. Our tires have been slashed.
On the Viper?
I was invited out a couple of months ago to give a series of speeches and public appearances in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful governor out there, Catherine Sebelius, a Democrat. We had a wonderful meeting with her and the chancellor of the University of Kansas. And at the university, I gave a speech one evening, and the local senior Episcopal cleric came out to give a rousing support to my one-hour speech. It was in the evening, and then 5 hours later, they burned his church down, St. David's Episcopal Church, the only Episcopal church in the capital of Kansas, Topeka, as well as the local synagogue being hit with spray paint, swastikas, and anti-Semitic rhetoric.
No, wait a minute. This is from the 1880s, right?
You'd think, wouldn't you? It's just amazing.
That is shocking.
And then, of course, I told you I don't know who the Dominionist Christians use for their public relations people, but all along they've called me names like Satan, Satan's lawyer, godless secular leftist, the antagonizer of all Christians. And then about 36 weeks ago, I found out that they started throwing my picture up on the jumbotrons in the sanctuaries of their mega churches on Sunday, and underneath it they started sporting the new name for me, which is quote, Field General of the Godless Armies of Satan, which sounds laughable, but you have the lunatic fringe in that group, and they really believe it, which is why my family and I get three or four times a week we get these grotesque death threats, including a chorus of Christian, suppose they're fundamentalist Christian women who chant repeatedly on the phone, Mikey Weinstein, bullet in the head, praise the Lord, he's finally dead. I'm sure Jesus would have written those lyrics himself.
Wow. Sounds like Fred Phelps out of Topeka. Let's take a call. Steve and Salinas, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Mikey Weinstein.
Hey, good afternoon. A couple of things. One, I really think there's probably actually be a movement to have Jews not join the military until that's straightened out and make sure everybody knows about it.
Well, I don't think that's the right way to deal with the problem. Mikey, do you?
I couldn't quite. He said not have Jews go in the military?
Yeah, until the problem is corrected.
I know he doesn't. I'm going to presume he doesn't mean that as an insult. It was about 20 years ago that somebody, 18 or 20 years ago in Paris, there was an explosion at a synagogue in Paris, and the French were reviled for the way their news organizations reported that. Radio and TV reported it as there were five people killed. three Frenchmen and two Jews. You know, we're Americans. You know, it is not going to be the Jews who don't go in. You know, I mean, I want to serve my country. My family has a long martial tradition in it, and I'll be damned if I'm going to prevent, you know, Jewish people from going in the military. We're not going to change our habits of supporting this country. What it is that it's going to be this state, particularly this particular administration, that is going to adhere itself to the Constitution, or if not, you know, we will lay down a withering field of fire, kick ass, take names, and leave sucking chest wounds on them in federal court.
Steve, thank you for your call today. I want to invite people to visit the website militaryreligiousfreedom.org. That's Military Religious Freedom, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Its founder, Mikey Weinstein, has been with us, and his book is out. You got to read it, With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. Mikey, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter B. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Great Passover to you.
Thank you.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Supreme Court says greenhouse gases are air pollution.
This is a legal slap at the administration.
Diplomacy might do the trick.
Iran's chief negotiator hints at a possible breakthrough in the standoff over the 15 captured British service personnel.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The implications are huge. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling today, rejected the Environmental Protection Agency's position that it lacks the authority to regulate carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. The High Court says emissions linked to global warming can be regulated just like air pollution. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews talked to the Sierra Club's David Bookbinder.
They're no longer allowed to sit on their hands and...
Environmental groups say, at a minimum, EPA must now declare whether greenhouse gases are dangerous or not.
The court is forcing them to say, yes, these things endanger our environment, in which case they must be regulated, or no, they don't endanger our environment, in which case we all get a very large laugh.
The biggest winners here might be the 12 states, including California, that have passed laws to reduce emissions from cars 30% by the year 2016.
The biggest losers might be automakers. They make the bulk of their profits from pickups and SUVs.
I'm Mark Nolder at the White House, which insists it's already addressing the issue of greenhouse gas emissions from some vehicles by raising fuel efficiency standards.
We already have raised the standard twice for SUVs, and we're looking at a third one, and then we've asked Congress for the authority to do the same for cars.
Spokeswoman Dana Perino also points to the president's proposal to reduce U.S. consumption of gasoline by 20% over 10 years by mandating greater use of ethanol and other alternative fuels. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Now this.
Hey, Dave, Mike here. Hey, this afternoon at around 2:27, the plumbing's going to back up with a lot of grayish, goopy stuff. It'll all overflow onto the tile floor and make a nice little safety hazard. Cool? Anyway, just thought you should know.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added thousands of new plumbing products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. Valves, fittings, fixtures, toilets, water heaters, whatever it takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You've got Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries.
Wednesdays, Wednesdays, perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday Mixed Grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chops.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday Mixed
Start
Grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
On Wednesday, the new Saturday.
Into the break in the standoff between Britain and Iran, CBS News correspondent Charlie Daggett has the latest.
Iran says it does not plan to put the 15 captured British servicemen on trial for trespassing into Iranian waters. The country's top negotiator says the crisis should be resolved through proper diplomatic channels and that Britain should give assurances that such an incident should never happen again. British officials confirm they're in direct talks with Iran, but still insist their forces were operating well within Iraqi territory when they were captured by Iranians a week and a half ago. Charlie Daggett, CBS News, London.
There's an American missing in Iran.
He is a private citizen. He was there on private business, and we don't see any linkage whatsoever between this case and any other ongoing cases that may have been in the news recently.
State Department spokesman Sean McCormick declines to identify the man who once worked at the FBI. Officials insist he did not go to Iran on any official mission. After two videotaped beatings involving off-duty officers, Chicago Police Superintendent Philip Klein announced retirement plans today, saying the vast majority of his cops are dedicated pros.
I thank them for their hard work these past 3.5 years. I encourage all of them to rise above any controversy and stay focused on the mission.
There was so much March madness, it spilled over into April, but the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship will be decided tonight. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is covering.
Here outside the Georgia Dome, tip-off is still more than 2 hours away, but the fans have been here for some time. Everyone, it seems, is willing to make a prediction. This Ohio State fan is cautiously optimistic.
I mean, we're going to have a real strong game, but I think they will, so I think they can get it done.
This Florida fan, though, sounds supremely confident.
Oh, we're going to take care of business.
Guarantee?
Yeah.
100%?
Yeah.
Florida is trying to become only the sixth school to win back-to-back championships. Ohio State hasn't won a title since 1961. Steve Futterman, CBS News. News outside the Georgia Dome in Atlanta.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our design print and ship depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Hello, America. It's time to play Take on Orbitz, the travel game where you could save $100 on your next hotel stay. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbitz.com during the Plan Your Escape hotel sale and save $100 on 5 nights at select hotels nearly anywhere in the world. So if work is wearing you out or your neighbors are driving you nutty, plan your escape and pick your hotel right now at Orbitz.com.
Save $100 off 5+ nights on select hotels. Valid for travel May 1st through December 20th. Book by April 30th, 2007. See site for terms and conditions.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
The peace thing, too.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Coming up later this hour, we're going to get a briefing on a remarkable Supreme Court ruling today repudiating the Bush administration's effort to keep the EPA from regulating carbon dioxide and other contributors to global warming. But first, we're going to meet the author of a powerful book called American Hiroshima. He is David J. Dionisi, a recovering Republican, a former military intelligence officer.
Giant
Midnight Oil, My Country Right or Wrong. You'll never hear me say that. And in my lifetime, I've been to two places where humans committed atrocities on other humans. As a 12-year-old, my dad took me to Dachau, the concentration camp, the extermination camp in Germany. And that is an experience I will never forget. And traveling solo in the late 1980s, I took the bullet train to Hiroshima, Japan. And I visited the site of the American atrocity, the site of the atomic bomb, which is now the Peace Park in Hiroshima. David J. Dionisi, I think, has made a similar trip. The cover of his book captures the Peace Park in a beautiful full-color photo. David, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. It's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you, and I'm very impressed by the book you wrote, and I want to thank a listener from 1240 in Sacramento. We were on there filling in a few weeks ago, and he sent me the information about you. You sent me the book, and I've read it cover to cover. And I'm very impressed, particularly with your voice, because as I alluded in the introduction, I call you a recovering Republican, but you describe yourself as a former Republican. But you also have a strong commitment to peace that is informed by your own experience as a military intelligence officer. You served in Korea and at other sites around the world, and some humanitarian efforts that you've undertaken on your own in Africa.
Well, I think it's fair to say I'm recovered at this point. For me, I did spend most of my life as a conservative Republican, and my heart goes out to people who are really blinded by the propaganda that is constantly put in front of them in this country. For me, what happened was I needed to be hit on the head a few times before I finally came around, and I was in South Korea when Chun Doo-hwan was the president, and we were there to help protect him. And when I left the country, it just kind of shook me up a little bit that he was sentenced to death for crimes against humanity. And for listeners that don't know much about that, back there was a massacre called the Kwanju Massacre. And then I was part of a rapid deployment team when we were fighting the secret war in Central America back against the Sandinistas in Nicaragua.
Right.
And we were told that, you know, we were defending freedom and that these were communists that were coming in to enslave the people. And it wasn't until I was an international volunteer working at an orphanage in Honduras that I really made sense of what was going on down there. And I think the world knows now we were on the wrong side, but at the time I was still very supportive of that position. And I've been working in Africa the last 2 years, and specifically helping with an orphanage in Liberia. And my experiences in the Middle East and in Africa have further confirmed that our foreign policies are completely out of alignment with the values that we hold dear.
Tell us the reason you selected the title American Hiroshima.
Well, I didn't select it so much as Osama bin Laden. A lot of people in this country are not aware of things that are common knowledge in the Middle East. For instance, most of the people that I talk to are still unaware that what happened on 9/11 was called Operation Big Wedding by Osama bin Laden and the people close to him. And now in the Middle East, it's referred to as Holy Tuesday. And your listeners may find this interesting. It's called, well, it was first called Operation Big Wedding because the day of a martyr's death is the day of his wedding. He received 72 virgins.
Mm-hmm.
Since there were 19 people times 72, that was a pretty big wedding. But it's called Holy Tuesday by people who support it in the Middle East because so much of what happened on September 11, 2001 was not planned by Al-Qaeda and went well beyond anything they thought could be possible. So I think the names are very significant. And the entire leadership, except for Osama bin Laden, wanted to have a plane, to have an attack where a plane flew into a nuclear power facility. And Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's in custody right now, before he was captured by the CIA, gave an interview on Arab television where he said that bin Laden was the only member, and as the senior member of Al-Qaeda, his wishes were obeyed, and therefore they took a nuclear facility off the target list.
Mm-hmm.
And they reserved the right for an American Hiroshima in the future. Bin Laden felt that if he included a nuclear facility, the level of damage would be so great that it would actually isolate the Islamic world rather than draw them into their cause.
Now, two quick questions there. You alluded to the idea that Al-Qaeda alone could not have caused the Twin Towers to collapse, Building 7 to come down, and the damage to the Pentagon that is consistent with a missile, not an airliner. Do you have doubts about the official story from 9/11?
Well, it's clear that the official story has many holes in it. Matter of fact, I've been asked to write an analysis on what I think happened. There's so much that we just don't know, and therefore no one can claim that they have the full story. But my analysis was deemed so credible, it was published throughout the Islamic world. And if your listeners go to the largest English-speaking source newspaper in Egypt, for instance, and just put in my last name, which is D-I-O-N-I-S-I.
Dionisi. Uh-huh.
They'll pull up on the Daily Star Egypt an article called Millions Call for a New 9/11 Investigation. And that's pretty comprehensive, and it goes through the things that we clearly know require another investigation.
Well, I share your skepticism. My only free advice to you, David, would be to avoid the trap of having to prove what actually happened in order to refute the lies we've been told. Because I think that there's so many layers to this that it's going to be very difficult for a layperson to drill down far enough to get to the real facts. And to me, what we can be most successful at right now is continuing to hammer away at the inconsistencies and the things that don't match basic physics in the stories we've been told, and keep hammering for the truth. Dennis Kucinich is promising some limited hearings later this year to try to reopen some of these questions. But I believe we all deserve the full truth, and that anybody who offers a hypothesis is going to get shot down, and they'll attempt to prove that since that's not true, the original story was true.
Yeah, I think that's very good advice, and my position is a little bit different than many people. I'm certainly in the 9/11 truth movement, and what I put forth is if you take a look at what happened, and specifically if you go and interview people that were close to Bin Laden, and I've done this, so I have a perspective that's a little different than many people in our country. You'll find that his own family and people that are close to him will take credit for things like his involvement with the USS Cole, the attacks on the embassies in Africa, even the first 1993 attack they'll take responsibility for, and a small part of what happened on 9/11. And so what I'm convinced is the U.S., because one of the senior lieutenants within Al-Qaeda defected to the CIA in 1999, we knew absolutely what was going to happen, and it was therefore allowed to happen and magnified so that we could create the conditions to go into Afghanistan, go into Iraq, and really finish the game of tic-tac-toe by going for the centerpiece, Iran.
Yeah, I want to talk about Iran in the next segment. Let me just come back to KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. How much of his alleged confession do you think is credible?
Well, I go back to before he was captured to look at what's credible, because once someone's tortured, they're really capable of saying anything. And he did give an interview on Al Jazeera where he took credit for a fair amount of acts of aggression against the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1996, he has acknowledged being part of what's called the Plains Operation.
Bojinka.
And matter of fact, the original, a lot of Americans are shocked by this, but the original idea to do what happened on 9/11 was born back in 1982 when Bin Laden saw the U.S. 6th Fleet and the Israeli forces destroying tall office buildings in Beirut, Lebanon. And since we were aiding Bin Laden all the way up until February of 1989 because of the war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan,
right,
he really withheld any acts of aggression against the United States. So his first really major attack to try to get the United States to be sucked into this broader war and therefore use it as a similar situation as what happened with the Soviets in Afghanistan was 1993. A lot of people don't realize that that attempt was designed to do two things. Topple the building, because it was I'm supposed to take out a corner of the World Trade Center, and also had a cyanide-based component. And if the cyanide part of the bomb went off, they were hoping to kill up to 200,000 people. So I'm in the camp that our acts, basically, our flawed foreign policies in the Middle East, going back over several decades, have created the conditions where there really are some people that want to harm us.
It's what Chalmers Johnson refers to as blowback, and in particular, blowback from things that were covert, so that the American people cannot look at the triggering event and say, oh yeah, that makes sense, that's why they responded to it. We'll take a break and return with David J. Dionisi. His book is called American Hiroshima. And David, how can people get the book?
They can go on Amazon.com. That's probably the easiest way.
Okay. Very good. Amazon.com is where you can find it. We'll continue in a moment. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Monday afternoon traffic. All right, we're going to let you know that in Santa Cruz, looks like we have a problem. Highway 1, southbound at Plymouth Street, two vehicles are on the shoulder there, and it's blocking the right. Well, actually, they're saying that, yes, It's on the right shoulder of the on-ramp there, so just be advised. Getting more of a problem in Salinas. This would be 101 northbound before Ponder. It is a vehicle that is on fire. It's a car with flames coming out of its engine. No information, the lane information, but I can tell you that the fire department is on scene there. Eastbound 25, looking pretty good from Gilroy to Hollister. No problems being reported. Southbound 1 from Monterey to Carmel. A little bit of slow traffic, but nothing to get too concerned about. And the support brought to you by Microsoft Office might be the same old traffic, but today you're heading to a whole new office. Introducing the 2007 Microsoft Office system. Try it now at 2007.com.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. This just into the Peter B. Collins Show. Next hour, we'll kick off the Free Speech Zone with a commentary and interview with Shane Katadal from the Center for Constitutional Rights about the unusual terms imposed on David Hicks in exchange for his guilty plea. That's the Australian who will be exiting Guantanamo, the first to actually accept charges and a conviction. And we'll get more on that coming up next hour. Also later this hour, just about 10 minutes, attorney Howard Fox from Earth Justice will join us to talk about the remarkable Supreme Court decision against the Bush administration and related to climate change that occurred, was announced just today. We continue with writer David J. Dionisi. His book, American Hiroshima, I think is very powerful. We're just scratching the surface here. And David, I wanted to ask you to share your ideas on our current posture toward Iran and whether Operation Bite, which has been reported in the Russian media and on websites around the world, but haven't seen anything in the corporate media in this country. We have described the report on this program that suggests that the U.S. may be planning to attack Iran as early as this Friday.
Well, I wrote 2 years ago, matter of fact, the first chapter of the American Hiroshima book makes the case that the United States will go to war with Iran. And the real reasons for doing that are the continuation of the real reasons for why we went to war with Afghanistan and Iraq, which is a combination of we see China as the rising dominant economic and military power, as well as potentially united Europe, and to deny access to resources in Central Asia and the Middle East, the United States has taken the policy of preemptive war. There's also obviously a strong component that the Israeli government wants us to go to war. And I think that is really playing out right now. If we take a look at the Russian report that came out, one thing I can guarantee you, as soon as that was leaked, the operation name was changed, and some of the specifics about the plan were changed. So if there was an attack actually to occur on that day with those parameters, I would be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, we are very close to war right now. Matter of fact, I work full-time on this issue. I'm with the Teach Peace Foundation. That's teachpeace.com.
Right.
And if any of your listeners go to that website, they can see specifically a timeline showing how we have been moving toward this position in a very aggressive way. And the timeline is irrefutable. And we've never done the kinds of things that we are doing now without anticipating a major military action.
Mm-hmm. Our time is tight, so I just want to reference that, to me, the powerful part of the book, and there's a lot of good stuff in here, is your rejection of unilateralism. And you offer a number of ideas here you call multilateral ideas that could save the world. And they basically start with the U.S. renouncing a first nuclear strike and trimming its own nuclear arsenal.
Absolutely. I believe if we continue policies that are hypocritical, we will ultimately pay heavily for them. Right now, we are the world's largest weapons exporter, and there's a price that will be paid for that. I think the American people are wonderful, but unfortunately, very uninformed. And what's great about this country can still fix what's wrong about our country. But we are moving very close, very, very quickly to a fascist government. And the American people need to really take this seriously, because we're going to find ourselves at war with Iran unless a miracle occurs, because the peace movement is still asleep.
Well, and it's so disappointing that while the Democratic strategy appears to be gathering some momentum, and we have Harry Reid and Russ Feingold promising to introduce a bill that Bush will hate even more than the one that he's threatening to veto, I think the tactics are starting to have an impact. But to strip out the no war with Iran without congressional approval element from this bill, I think, was a serious mistake.
Well, I was personally part of the effort to get that language in there. I had met with over 40 different congressional offices just prior to that language. It was still there on March 11th. And then, literally, AIPAC was the powerhouse. I mean, they converged. They had 6,000 members that were able to weigh in. And this is not anti-anyone. This is just what happened. And if you go to the AIPAC site, you're even able to pull up the reference where they showed they had 6,000 members lobby.
Right.
And the Democratic leadership listens very carefully to what the AIPAC and other pro-Israel lobbies have to say. And as a result, they took that language out, which then gave the president de facto kind of permission to go ahead and do it.
I'm afraid so. And while, you know, like the Boland Amendment really didn't stop Reagan from his intentions in Central America, mm-hmm. it put Congress on record, and it ultimately was helpful in the investigation of Iran-Contra. We don't have squat right now on this particular potential effort.
Well, what we do have is the military has leaked several documents, such as National Security Decision Directive 35, the fact that that's out there, and that was the authorization to move the nuclear weapons into the region, as well as CON Plan 8022, which was one of the earlier plans for the
David, I'm sorry we're out of time. David okay. Dionisi, American Hiroshima. Get it at Amazon.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Latest survey of airline service is out, and you'll never guess the result. Wait, you guessed. Airline service is getting worse. They lose your bags, flights are late, and they're crowded. And they lose your bags, and the lines are long, and the flights are crowded. And the food is bad, and did I say they lose your bags? And, of course, the flights are so dang crowded, hardly ever an open seat. You notice something wrong here? If the bags are lost, and the food is bad, and the planes are late, why are the flights so crowded? Why do we keep coming? And that's where we finally get to the truth. And the truth is that every other option for taking a long trip is so much worse. You ever taken a bus on a long trip? Never mind the bus itself. Just take one look at the typical bus station. Just the thought of it should make you happy to be in an airport. I am happy to take my shoes off in the airport. I won't even take off my coat in a bus station. You just want to cover yourself with sanitizing gel. And then there's Amtrak, where if you ask them if the train's on time, they call security because clearly you're not from here. No, there's nothing wrong with air travel that can't be solved by a little gadget called the DigiPlayer. You can rent one on Alaska Airlines, a little viewer packed with movies and sitcoms. I got on a 6-hour flight into strong headwinds. Those are the worst kind because they're long and bumpy. And I got so engrossed in the DigiPlayer that my main complaint about the flight was that we landed before the wrestling scene in Borat. If you want to fly cheap, this is what you get. And if you think air travel stinks, think of the last time you used a bathroom on a bus. I rest my case.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall.
Try a Barracuda firewall for free.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM.
888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Scripted and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This is astounding, friends. The Roberts Supreme Court has rebuked the Bush administration. Huh?
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. Read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming. A spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorocarbon strip away ozone. It can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and it now deduced. The vampires of progress have come home to rule.
Yes, and the vampires on the Supreme Court, four of them, voted against this historic ruling today, but there's a majority of five, and the Supreme Court rebuked the Bush administration for its inaction on global warming in a decision that could encourage faster action in Congress on climate change and lead to more fuel-efficient cars as early as next year. Joining us to comment on this is one of the attorneys who was active in the lower court efforts that finally were reviewed by the Supreme Court in the decision announced today, Howard Fox, attorney for Earth Justice. Howard, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
This is stunning, and as I read about the arguments a few months ago, I thought, wow, with this newly packed court with Roberts and Alito joining Scalia and Thomas, they were, by the way, the four who voted against this decision today, I really didn't have much optimism that you'd get the ruling you got.
Well, we had a strong case, as the majority opinion by Justice Stevens noted. There's a lot of evidence out there now, growing consensus that this is a big problem. It's causing a lot of impacts. It's flooding coastal lands and doing many other bad things. And also, the law is clear that air pollutants do include these various gases that cause climate change. So,
well, here are a couple of quick summaries from news accounts just to help us in our conversation. First, the majority brushed aside the Bush administration's assertion that the Clean Air Act does not treat carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases as pollutants and thus does not give the EPA authority to regulate them. Secondly, the five justices declared that, contrary to the administration, Massachusetts and the other 11 states who filed this case and various other plaintiffs that sued the EPA do indeed have legal standing to pursue their suit. That was the claim of the Justice Department and the EPA in trying to throw this out. In order to establish standing, a federal court plaintiff must show that there's an injury that can be traced to the defendant's behavior and that the injury will be relieved by the action the lawsuit seeks. Am I correct there, Howard, that it was EPA and Justice that argued on behalf of the government?
Yes, it was EPA that refused to take action on global warming, and their law firm in the federal government is the Department of Justice, so that was who represented them in court.
All right, and here are a couple of quotes from the majority decision, as you mentioned, written by John Paul Stevens. EPA's steadfast refusal to regulate greenhouse gas emissions presents a risk of harm to Massachusetts that is both actual and imminent, he said, citing two standards that are linked to standing, legal standing. EPA identifies nothing suggesting that Congress meant to curtail EPA's power to treat greenhouse gases as air pollutants, Justice Stevens wrote. Instead, the agency resorted to impermissible considerations in rejecting the plaintiff's request, and there's something about a laundry list of excuses that the court found unpersuasive. Howard, what was in that laundry list?
Well, there were a number of things. The bottom line for the administration was they basically don't want anything to be required of the emitters, of the polluters. They want them to be able to take action if they want to, but if a given polluter wants to keep spewing out the pollution, that's just fine with the administration. And that's not going to solve the problem. And in fact, their approach is a recipe for a continued climb in greenhouse gas emissions when we need to stabilize them and start cutting them back, because the current emissions are actually too high.
Well, Howard, you know, we've had great luck with voluntary efforts to, for example, clean up dog dew. You know, there are a lot of great dog owners who go out there every day with their newspaper bag, and when the dog poops, they pick it up. So what's your objection to having industry voluntarily police itself?
Well, voluntary measures can take you a certain distance, but the bottom line is, on a problem like this where it does involve some compliance cost to clean up this pollution, the industry will simply not shoulder that burden by itself without someone telling them they have to do it. And that's been the track record on pollution for the last several decades. And in fact, that's a reason why we have the Clean Air Act the way it is now. Back in the 1960s, we were following what the current administration says we should do, which is they were essentially saying to industry, we'll let you clean up if you want to, but we won't make you do it. And that was a disaster. There was no cleanup of pollution to speak of. And that's why we had a strong Clean Air Act put into place. It's one of the biggest success stories in our country that we have. If we had the number of cars, with the pollution controls of the 1960s that we have now, you wouldn't be able to walk outside. And there's been a big success in cleaning up these, what you might call more conventional pollutants. And there's simply no reason in the world why the same approach shouldn't be tried and shouldn't be successful for these greenhouse gas emissions.
We're talking with Howard Fox. He's an attorney with Earth Justice, and we're here on the Peter B. Collins Show. A remarkable Supreme Court decision announced today that, says that the EPA does have the right to regulate CO2 emissions as a pollutant under the Clean Air Act, and conversely, that EPA can't just choose not to regulate CO2 emissions at its own discretion. This latter part, Howard, seems really crucial.
Yes, and what the court said is that what the law talks about is protecting the public, the people, and protecting the environment. And if those are in danger, EPA has to limit the emissions. So EPA does have some opportunity to make a decision here, but the decision is very narrow. It's about whether there's a danger to the public, not about whether they feel like regulating or feel like doing anything about the danger. It's really about whether there is a danger. And that's what the agency now has to focus on.
Now, in retrospect, do you believe that the case you brought might have been a little too narrow by defining it as CO2 emissions? Is the decision written broadly enough, Howard, to cover other emissions that might not be CO2 but still contribute to a greenhouse gas effect?
Well, actually, the case itself was about four pollutants, of which CO2 was one. It was also involved three others, methane, chlorofluorocarbons, and nitrous oxide as well. And those are three other important greenhouse emissions that come out of cars. And so I think the suit actually did cover several pollutants.
Okay. Well, the language I've read in the media focuses on CO2, so I'm pleased to hear in particular about methane, because that does appear to be a significant contributor, somewhere between 10 and 15%.
I don't know the exact figure. It's not as much as put into the air, but on the other hand, I think pound for pound, it's a more potent greenhouse gas than even carbon dioxide.
Well, our able producer Katrina Rill supplied me with this information, so I can sound smart. Methane is a GHG, a greenhouse gas, that is 23 times as effective as at trapping heat in the atmosphere as carbon dioxide. So that's very significant.
Right. Right. So yeah, this is an important step forward, and on a number of levels, and the court's discussion about the Clean Air Act and how it applies, and also their recognition that states and citizens have a right to come to court to get a remedy for this very important environmental problem.
Mm-hmm.
Court went through the evidence and said this evidence wasn't disputed about these harms that were being caused. So, for example, flooding of coastal land, and the court said that's certainly enough to get these folks their day in court.
Well, and I'm looking through my documents here to see if I can lift a quote here from Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts, who wrote the minority opinion, the dissenting opinion.
He wrote one of two. There were actually two dissenting opinions.
Okay.
One by Chief Justice Roberts and one by Justice Scalia.
Okay. And what were the distinctions between those two dissents, Howard?
Well, they addressed different things. The Chief Justice's dissent addressed the issue of standing, which essentially he would have slammed the courthouse door on the state of Massachusetts and the state of California and the other states that were trying to get redress for this problem. And just said that this whole problem, the only place they can get redress is in Congress and in the administration.
Well, and they've done a great job of working that out, haven't they?
Well, they haven't. Yeah, they haven't worked it out. And we, of course, think that the majority got it right when they said that this is a serious problem, and the fact that it's shared, there's a problem that affects a lot of people, doesn't make it more less appropriate for the courts to get involved. It makes it more appropriate simply because the problem's more egregious, more serious, more people are being hurt. That was one dissenting opinion. The other was by Justice Scalia, who took the position that EPA had broad discretion to decide what to do here, and also he felt that it was okay for EPA to say that these emissions were not even air pollutants to start with, which again, we differ with and agree with the majority that the language of the Clean Air Act on air pollutant is very broad. And one thing that's extremely important for people to understand, this statute actually, the Clean Air Act, actually uses the word climate. It talks about protecting against effects to health and welfare, and it defines welfare effects to include effects on weather and climate. So the word climate is actually in the law. And this is a matter not of making up new law, but of applying the law that's already on the books.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Howard Fox from Earth Justice here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment about this major decision by the Supreme Court empowering the EPA to police greenhouse gas emissions, including CO2, methane, and other sources, you can give us a call toll-free now, toll-free 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And just for your information, let's pass along to you the two sides of this case. Massachusetts brought the original suit, and they were joined by California, Connecticut, Illinois, Maine, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington. And in turn, they were joined by the District of Columbia, Baltimore, New York City, and a dozen environmental groups. On the other side, with Justice Roberts, Scalia, Thomas, and Alito, were automobile trade groups, the states of Alaska, Idaho, Kansas, Michigan, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, Texas, and Utah. And if you look at most of those states, they're either oil states or have auto manufacturing or just Neanderthal politicians. How would you size up the group that was opposed to this decision, Howard Fox?
Well, I don't, obviously they're entitled to their viewpoint, and they were heard by the court, and they were unable to persuade a majority of the court. And the fundamental reason for that in the end is the position of Massachusetts was a stronger one, that the law says climate. It's It's, the law is clear, and EPA has to take the law seriously. That's this is a country of laws, and there's also evidence out there that was undisputed about climate effects.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, and not to put words in your mouth, but I'm just trying to identify the interest that aligns those groups that supported the minority. And is it auto manufacturing and oil in general?
Well, there may be there. You know, I would hesitate to characterize what it is that they're trying to accomplish or the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's short-sighted to think that if a given state has a certain industry there, that they're going to be protecting the industry by taking a position against pollution control. Because in the end, history has shown over and over again in the U.S. that places that do the best job of pollution control are often the most prosperous. Like California, for example, has some very good pollution control policies and also has one of the best economies in the country.
We're going to take a break and return with Howard Fox from Earth Justice. Your calls are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody, and let's give you the very latest on this Monday afternoon. A commute looking not too bad right now. In fact, we're going to tell you that traffic is looking pretty good on Highway 17 at this point, and no major stalls or accidents to tell you. Let's also look at, we had a problem earlier, and this was in Salinas, northbound 101 before Potter. It was a car on fire. Fire department actually on scene. Don't know, it doesn't appear that it's blocking lanes. We're getting some updated information. Sam, let's look at Capitola. Well, no, forget that. Monterey, no problems to report. Santa Cruz or Salinas at this point. And, in fact, traffic on eastbound 25 from Gilroy to Hollister, everything looking normal there. This support brought to you by Great America. Great America now open for another season of fun. Adults save $13. The coupon from participating Carl's Jr.'s family of four saves up to $50 at Great America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Right after the top of the hour, we'll open up the free speech zone with Shane Katadal from the Center for Constitutional Rights and talk about the loss of speech of David Hicks. And also another individual who's a high-profile detainee at Gitmo, has said, well, yeah, I told them that I bombed the coal because they tortured me. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Right now, we're talking with Howard Fox. He's an attorney with Earth Justice. He did the legal work in the lower court efforts on behalf of the state of Massachusetts and other plaintiffs to force the Environmental Protection Agency to operate under the Clean Air Act and try to find ways to reduce the CO2 emissions and other emissions that create the greenhouse gas effect. And if you're a layperson like me, maybe you got to see 60 Minutes last night where they had a very powerful story. Again, this from Antarctica and from South America, where they showed the glaciers are melting very, very quickly, much faster than had been predicted as little as 10 years ago, and that the situation is indeed very critical. Howard Fox, one thing that the majority in the court did say today was that global warming and the contribution that human activity makes to it, these are real. These are not issues that are in dispute or under debate at this time.
That's right. As I mentioned earlier, that we had submitted a lot of evidence, including Massachusetts and others, including the group I represent, which is the Sierra Club, submitted lots of evidence of the harms that are being caused, and the court said that this evidence was simply not disputed. And there's a good reason why it wasn't disputed, which is it's hard to dispute that given the way where the science is now, with the strong consensus that global warming is a problem and human emissions from cars and power plants and so forth are contributing to it.
Mm-hmm. Howard, who handled the case before the Supreme Court?
Two very excellent lawyers. The actual oral argument was by James Milkey, M-I-L-K-E-Y. He's in the Massachusetts Attorney General's office. He also worked in the case with me in the Court of Appeals. And the brief writing was by an attorney named Lisa Heinzerling, who works at the Georgetown University Law School here in D.C. Mm-hmm. And really did quite an excellent job, both of them.
Now, I've acknowledged I don't have legal training, so help me out here. One of the things that it appears this ruling does is slam the door on preemption of state regulations. We've seen a number of cases where California, for example, passed a stricter regulations regarding financial privacy and, you know, who can look at my bank records and who my bank can share them with for marketing purposes, that sort of thing. And after it finally passed in California, there was a federal law that preempted it that essentially watered that down. And many people have been concerned that the legislation that Schwarzenegger signed in California last year, which is an important first step, might be undermined by what I call the wrecking crew, Bush appointees at the cabinet level in Washington. In your view, does this case prevent that kind of preemption in most regards?
Well, I'm not an expert in the preemption issue. I do know that the auto industry has filed suit against the state of California, I believe, in an attempt to stop the California regulations on global warming emissions, and that's really ill-advised. I think sometimes that the industry plays a game of expediency. They talk about how important it is to defer to the states when they think the states are going to be weaker in regulating pollution. But when the states step up to the plate and act proactively in pollution control, all of a sudden they say, no, this has been preempted by the federal government and the states can't do anything. And, of course, at the federal level, they've been arguing this, the feds shouldn't do anything either. So it's essentially, if you listen to the industry, no one should do anything.
Yeah.
And I think gradually they're starting to change that line because they see the handwriting on the wall that the science isn't going away, and the public sentiment to do something about this is only getting stronger as well.
So, Howard, in your view, what will be the practical impact of this dramatic Supreme Court 5-4 ruling today in favor of the environmental side? Are we going to have higher mileage cars in short order? Are we going to have more stringent automotive emission standards?
We will have those things, and I can't tell you exactly when that's going to happen because there's a lot of variables there, but this decision is a very important shot in the arm to those efforts, and it's saying you have a very respected body, the Supreme Court of the United States, saying that this problem exists, that it's within the scope of the Clean Air Act and that EPA needs to take another look at it and act within the law. And you add those up together, that's a really important statement about what needs to happen. And that decision is part of a list of or a group of voices of entities in Congress and in the scientific community and even in other countries and citizens groups and even communities of faith in our country that are starting to notice this issue as well. And you add that, that's quite a growing chorus that action needs to happen.
So in practical terms, what would you invite our listeners to work for, to say to our elected leaders, hey, you know, we want higher mileage standards, we want to reduce emissions from coal-fired power plants. What would be your top three if you wanted to implement it?
The biggest single, you could go down the list of sources. I mean, the two biggest types of sources in the U.S. are motor vehicles and power plants. There are others, of course, too. So you could focus on those. But I think the single biggest watershed here is that there needs to be meaningful action, not just saying, gee, people can the companies like these big automobile companies, the big power companies, gee, they can do something about this if they want, but we won't worry too much if they don't want to do anything. That has to stop. That approach has to stop because it's not working. It's a recipe for emissions going up. So I think your listeners should get in touch. If just like anything in a democracy, they get in touch with their elected officials and tell them that they support meaningful and mandatory controls on greenhouse gas emissions.
All right.
And that will eventually carry the day. And you know, if the officials hear from enough people.
Well, Howard, go out there and hug a tree or something, will you?
I'll try. We have a lot of them. Believe it or not, in Washington here, we have lots of them. So.
And cherry blossoms are blooming. So.
Absolutely.
Thanks again for your work and congratulations.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks.
Howard Fox from Earth Justice. You know, the Earth needs a good lawyer. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Free Speech Zone is next.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Damning words from Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. He says the Environmental Protection Agency's inaction on greenhouse gases is arbitrary, capricious, and otherwise not in accordance with the law. The court ruled 5-4 that emissions linked to global warming can be regulated under the Clean Air Act. Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal was one of the plaintiffs in this case. He's thrilled with the ruling.
It will force the administration to set limits, realistic safeguards on CO2 emissions, which in turn will lead the world.
The Bush administration won a victory in another case. The High Court declined to review whether detainees at Guantanamo Bay can challenge their indefinite confinement in federal court. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
This is a huge setback for the detainees and a big boost for the administration because it allows for now the tribunal process to go forward down in Cuba. But what the justices did today in refusing to hear the case does not mean that they won't ultimately hear and decide it. In fact, they probably will, but only after the detainees go through their trials at Guantanamo Bay.
Experts say early intervention is crucial in treating autism, and experts think they found a new clue. When a child at 1 year old doesn't respond to his or her name, Dr. Sally Ozanoff says it might be a sign of autism.
The response to name indicator picked up about half of children who were later diagnosed with autism at 12 months. By 18 months, 70% of the children, but even if a child does sometimes respond to their name, they could still have autism.
In a separate analysis, researchers found that the cost of autism to U.S. society comes to $3.2 million over the person's lifetime. The coming presidential race looks to be the most expensive in American history.
The totals this year are definitely breaking the records of previous years.
In the first quarter, CBS News political director Molly Levinson says some candidates brought in double-digit millions.
Hillary Clinton raised $36 million, $26 million of that she brought in for this presidential campaign. And then on the Republican side, we have Mitt Romney in with $24 million.
Rudy Giuliani put $15 million in the bank, John McCain $12.5 million. Two people dead today in a shooting at the University of Washington.
Hillary Clinton.
When gunfire erupted on the fourth floor, students in a class several floors below tell me they heard something.
Like four popping sounds.
It was like four or five.
There were a number of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our instructor actually stopped what he was saying and went, what was that?
It must have just been construction. That's kind of how we approached it. No one wanted to really know it was real.
Students say they're still trying to comprehend what's happened here. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Seattle.
What happened, say police, was a murder-suicide involving a woman and a man she had an order of protection against. On Wall Street today, the Dow picked up 27 points, closing at 12,382. This is CBS News.
And now for the bonus round. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What does a pear prevent?
Hard feelings.
Correct. If you multiply
the square root of 19.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
I know. Over 1 billion.
Correct.
Yes.
Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial. Plans now from only $4.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
Welcome to Lardo's.
Yeah, can I get an order of spare tires?
Yeah, what size? Plump, chubby, or incredibly huge?
How about incredibly huge?
You want love handles with that?
Oh, yeah.
What are you really getting in your combo meal? The new Subway Fresh Fit Meals fit into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle. Tasty, low-fat subs, better-for-you sides, and a drink. Subway, eat fresh.
Fat content refers to regular 6-inch sub on white or wheat bread without condiments that contain fat. See store for additional nutritional information, including sodium content. Products may vary. Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
Chicago Police Superintendent Philip Klein announced his retirement today, insisting that two recent videotaped beatings involving off-duty cops are not representative of the city's police force. WBBM Radio's John Cody reports.
One video shows an off-duty officer beating up a female bartender half his size. Another shows officers waving off squad cars, responding to a fight between police and businessmen in a downtown lounge. Neither incident was featured in Klein's four-minute resignation announcement.
When you compare the last 3.5 years with the previous 3.5 years, we've had 600 less homicides and 8,000 less shootings.
Klein said Chicago is no longer the homicide capital of the country, and he'll stay on till a successor is named. John Cody, CBS News, Chicago.
The Texas Attorney General's office is suing Radio Shack for exposing customers to the risk of identity theft. Documents with Social Security and bank account numbers were found in the trash behind a store in Portland. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hey, Dave. Mike here. Hey, this afternoon at around 2:27, the plumbing's going to back up with a lot of grayish, goopy stuff. It'll all overflow onto the tile floor and make a nice little safety hazard. Cool? Anyway, just thought you should know.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Grainger's just added thousands of new plumbing products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. Valves, fittings, fixtures, toilets, water heaters, whatever it takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chops.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
Wednesday, the new Saturday.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the free speech zone of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take your calls a little later this hour. because there's an important issue that was the subject of a rebuff by the Supreme Court today. It's called habeas corpus. We're also going to talk about the free speech rights of one David Hicks, the first detainee at Guantanamo to plead guilty and be sentenced. And if there's time, we'll talk about Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri, who freely says that he confessed to things he never did because he was tortured, and it was a way to make the torture go away. To comment on these issues, we turn to an attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights, Shane Katadal. And he has been at CCR since 2001, works on the major case of the illegal NSA domestic spying program, as well as Patriot Act cases and Turkmen versus Ashcroft, representing people who were swept up in the immigration charges right after 9/11. Shane, thank you for joining us this evening, New York time.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Well, it's not really a pleasure, but it's always something I appreciate, the work that you, Michael Ratner, and the others do at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Mr. Ratner was on with us last week to discuss the guilty plea by David Hicks, and I'll ask you for your comments on that in a bit. But the Supreme Court today rejected an appeal from the detainees, and this is a serious setback, of course, for those of us who believe that the so-called Military Commissions Act is unconstitutional, and the court essentially ducked an opportunity to establish that today. Tell us about the nature of this case and also the nature of the Supreme Court's rejection of the appeal.
Sure. Well, to try to put it in the simplest terms, you know, the question right now is whether or not federal courts themselves can look into the, you know, the sort of factual underpinnings of the government's detention of people at Guantanamo and see whether there's any real basis to keep people detained, both in law and fact, or whether the detainees had to kind of jump through this hoop that the military had set up by going through sort of a, you know, an appeals process from some military panels that had been set up after the first Supreme Court decision to decide whether people ought to be held there. And, you know, our feeling was that the court was very likely to grant review because there were six votes in favor of the detainees in 2004. That opinion covered a lot of the legal ground that was really, you know, sort of at issue here. And five of those justices were still on the court, and it only takes four justices to grant review.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, the court today voted 6-3 against review, with two people sort of in the middle saying that they were being very cautious and that if the government took additional steps to prejudice the detainees, that they would act promptly to review that, but that otherwise they thought that we should go through this this kind of, you know, military panel and then an appeal from the military panel's decision that was kind of set up by the precursor to the Military Commissions Act.
Now tell us a little bit. It's Kennedy and Stevens who wrote a separate opinion, said that it's on procedural grounds that they have rejected these appeals, and you just said that they promised to intervene fairly quickly if, you know, the government continues to prejudice these issues. But what vehicle would there be if this appeal is rejected? Can Stevens and Kennedy say, wait, there's more?
Right. Well, I mean, if you know, we got to that point, the government was being particularly obstinate after we did all the things that they suggested that we do, then, you know, presumably we could apply to the Supreme Court directly for a writ of habeas corpus. Some detainees have already tried to do that rather than go to the trial courts and then, you know, sort of have to appeal your way all the way up to the court over the course of 2 years. Now, of course, you know, some of the detainees have been in detention for 5 years the whole time asserting their innocence and haven't had the chance to prove it ever before an impartial sort of judge, as you would get with a habeas hearing in federal court. And it has been 3 years since the Supreme Court decided that the detainees had access to the federal courts. But to give you some sense of what this is going to force us to do, basically, these military panels are called combatant status review tribunals. And in those tribunals, the only facts that are presented are really facts that the government is presenting or that the detainee has available. You know, the detainee doesn't get access to a lawyer, so they can't bring in all this information from outside. In fact, there was one set of detainees who had been exonerated by the Bosnian Supreme Court right before they were picked up and sent to Guantanamo by the Americans. And they said, look, you know, to this panel, they said, look, you know, go get the decision of the Bosnian Supreme Court. It's on the Internet. And the panel said, no, it's not available to us. Either you have it to give it to us now, or we're not going to consider it. And so, you know, beyond that, these panels allow for evidence gained through torture, secret evidence, that is classified evidence the detainee can't even see or respond to,
right,
and hearsay, which means, you know, somebody out, you know, and comes to court and says, look, some third person that you can't cross-examine told me this and this and this about the detainee. So that's what, you know, that's the sort of process that the military is using to try to justify these detentions. And the appeals process from that would go to the sort of Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C., the Federal Court of Appeals. But it's very, very limited. Basically, that court can only review to see if the military has complied with its own standards and procedures. It can't look through the facts and say, look, there are all these interesting other facts outside of the record that we'd like to consider. We'd like to go get this Bosnian Supreme Court decision off the Internet, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a very, very limited review, and it's kind of puzzling why the Supreme Court really wants us to go through that when the, you know, the outcome is really preordained. You know, in fact, the government has sent some people back for second and third combatant status review tribunals when the first two outcomes didn't please them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the statute that Congress passed in 2005 before the Military Commissions Act, this statute was called the Detainee Treatment Act.
And that's Lindsey Graham's language?
It basically is, yeah,
yeah.
Although it was, you know, really kind of, you know, ameliorated by some intervention by some Democratic senators, you know, Carl Levin, I guess, in particular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that bill in 2005, the DTA, said that, you know, the only review that the federal court can take is, you know, review to see if the military complied with its own procedures, and then also whether these procedures were consistent with the Constitution and laws of the United States. Now, you know, maybe the Supreme Court thought that that was a pretty substantive sort of review, and we'll see what the Court of Appeals does with it. But, you know, the reality is that the Court of Appeals, as we were coming up to the Supreme Court in February, they already said that the Constitution doesn't apply to people who are held outside, you know, the boundaries of the United States, you know, the 50 states or whatever, at Guantanamo. So there really isn't that much of an issue, really, to decide in the D.C. Circuit. So, you know, again, it's puzzling to see why they've forced us to go through this process. It really is just going to delay the inevitable hearing by the federal courts, and we hope the inevitable review by the Supreme Court.
Yeah. And Shane, when you couple this process of the review, the status reviews, which don't even, you know, match up with a simple arraignment process in, you know, American criminal courts. And then we take a look at what David Hicks chose to do last week in pleading guilty. This was a man who was, completely desperate and totally at the mercy of the American captors. And they dictated who could represent him and who could not. They permitted him to enter a guilty plea and then negotiated terms, which are unconscionable in my view, to require him to essentially observe a gag order until after the next Australian election or until, you know, sometime next year when the Bush administration is in the home stretch. And, you know, these are people who have absolutely no leverage before the law. They all of their rights have been stripped away from them. And then judgment is pronounced. And the American people, you know, for the most part, appear to be willing to accept this as a process that really is as deep as a Hollywood movie set. It's just all public relations. It's all a show trial. And it's not based on our system of law in any meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
You know, one of the amazing things about that plea agreement and the gag order in there is that the Australian government, the Attorney General's office, was actually consulted about whether or not it would stand up under Australian law. So there was a back and forth with them, you know, about whether this kind of thing would hold up once they send Hicks to Australia. And he's being sent back home, you know, primarily because this has been a very controversial issue for the conservative government of John Howard in Australia. So they wanted him back before the elections, but they also don't want him to talk before the elections. The elections, keep in mind, they can be as late as January 2008. They haven't been scheduled yet. So Hicks's gag order is going to continue for a couple months after that. In fact, his sentence is only 9 months, so his gag order is going to continue for 3 months after he's released,
yeah.
Which is really quite astonishing. you know, in the process he was facing, you know, and then, you know, in addition to the fact that two out of his three lawyers were kicked off the case that morning,
right?
The process he was facing has all the flaws that I mentioned to you. You know, can allow for consideration of classified evidence or torture evidence or hearsay.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return with Shane Conidol from the Center for Constitutional Rights. There's room for your calls in the next segment. So if you have a question or comment about today's Supreme Court rejection of the appeals, or about the treatment of David Hicks, and we'll talk about the alleged confession of a guy who said he helped bomb the Coles so they'd stop torturing him. That's coming up next, and your calls are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today. Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Well, a very pleasant good afternoon to you, or good evening, I should say. Let's take a look at what's happening. In our last report, there wasn't a whole lot to tell you about, but things have changed just a little bit. We do have a problem in Gilroy. This would be Santa Teresa Boulevard at Day Road. This is an injury crash. Two vehicles reportedly blocking a lane now. CHP is, in fact, on scene. Then we're going to jump on over to Salinas, southbound 101 before Russell Road. It's a large piece of tire tread in the second lane from the left there. And on Opal Cliffs, or at Opal Cliffs, Haas Drive at 36, we have a stalled car. It is blocking a lane there. In Santa Cruz, southbound 1, the ramp to Morrissey Boulevard, the on- and off-ramps closed 24-hour day for road work through May 31st. This report brought to you by PG&E. People at Pacific Gas and Electric working hard to provide tools to help you manage and use your energy bill.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're heading into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B. Shane Conidol from the Center for Constitutional Rights is with us for the rest of this segment. Then we'll open it up for comments on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You know the number, 888-5-PETER-B.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Bring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture.
Yeah, don't worry about the torture. That's Michael Franti and Spearhead, the title track from their latest CD called Yell Fire. And the torture at Guantanamo, the torture that many of these detainees were subjected to before they got to Gitmo, is very clear now. Not that I had great doubts, but we have one individual after another coming forward. And in a moment, we'll tell you about some commentary from a gentleman who says he gave up what they wanted because he was tortured. But here's some commentary on the Hicks case. As you know, he pled guilty in an evening session last Monday, a week ago, and then it was finally accepted by the military commission this past Friday. So in Sunday's New York Times, William Glaberson wrote a commentary piece. He says, to some in the courtroom, the proceedings proved only that the system was rigged to show detainees that the only way out of Guantanamo was to give the prosecutors what they wanted. Not only did Hicks plead guilty, but he also signed a plea bargain in which he recanted his accusations about being abused in detention and promised not to speak to reporters for a year. In the cadre of observers from advocacy and human rights groups here to monitor the proceedings, the plea deal Hicks reached was fresh evidence of the coercive power of this place. The plea bargain included a provision that will get Hicks out of detention here and into an Australian prison to serve the rest of his sentence within 60 days. And he quotes the chief military prosecutor, Colonel Morris Davis of the Air Force. He told reporters that the deal in the days of surprising developments in the Hicks case could be seen in a different light, not a loss for the prosecution, but a victory for a much maligned system that had been unfairly criticized before it was given a chance to prove it could deliver justice. I choke on those words. Quote from the colonel, there's a notion that this is a rigged system. I think this shows that's not true. Shane, did your BS detector just like go into hyperspace?
Well, that's you know, from the guy, Mo Davis, who threatened to court-martial Hicks's primary lawyer, Dan Morey, for being, you know, too vigorous in speaking out in public in Australia about what a kangaroo court this whole system was.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. The entire system was rigged to cover up the abuses to produce voluntary, you know, quote-unquote voluntary plea agreements.
And it's hard to fault Hicks. I mean, the guy wanted to go home. He was facing endless detention, and he saw a way out, and he took it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely true.
Now, let's talk about Abdul al-Rahim al-Nashiri, accused of planning the attack on the coal in 2000. And he's quoted in the New York Times, from the time I was arrested 5 years ago, they have been torturing me. It happened during interviews. One time they tortured me one way, and another time they tortured me in a different way. About a statement made to his interrogators that he had planned to lease a plane and explode it into a ship, Nashiri said, according to the transcript, they didn't even know that I was lying. They were very happy. Now, time and time again, Shane, we're seeing these people, even on the scrubbed transcripts, acknowledge that they have been tortured. Yet our government says it's only enhanced interrogation techniques. We don't torture.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that the those kind of statements aren't, you know, redacted out. But what is redacted out is the specifics of the torture that people have experienced. What Nashiri said was basically he made up the stories during the torture in order to get it to stop, which is very, very commonplace. And that once he issued those made up confessions, his captors were very happy and they stopped torturing him. And so it kind of points out the fact that it's a commonplace statement, I guess, that torture doesn't work. I fear that maybe the American public doesn't really get that after years of watching shows like 24 and Alias, where it seems to always work.
Yeah.
But the real risk is that that law enforcement doesn't get at accurate information, or that it tries to follow up on inaccurate information that pours out of these tortured confessions. That in fact it doesn't acknowledge that the torture isn't producing accurate information. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's one thing, I suppose, for them to torture people in order to produce a show trial. It's another thing for them to actually go around believing that what comes out is the truth and acting on it. And that's something that happened with another high-value detainee, Al Libby, who apparently under torture, stated that Al-Qaeda members had received training in Iraq, and this was part of the justification for going in during the Gulf War. Whether or not that was something that he made up under torture because he thought his captors wanted to hear it, or something that he intentionally misled his torturers into believing was the truth, so that the United States would knock off a very anti-Al-Qaeda regime. In Saddam Hussein's regime, that's an open question.
Yeah. Shane, about a minute and a half remaining. Tell us what your thoughts are at CCR in responding to this Supreme Court decision not to hear the case, and what tactics will you use next? Are you supporting Chris Dodd's effort to amend the Military Commissions Act and reinstate habeas corpus?
Well, I think the Dodd bill is 99% of what you would want to see. I mean, I think the best bill would be a one-sentence bill repealing the entire Military Commissions Act.
Amen.
That would go a long way towards repairing the symbolic damage that it's done to America's standing as a fair country and as a paragon of human rights protections in the rest of the world. But look, we can't, afford to wait for Congress as much as we, are glad to see any efforts that they are making. The reality is that anything that, will pass will probably be a little problematic and a product of some sort of compromise. Although, I suspect that maybe part of what was behind the Supreme Court's decision today was, in fact, sort of waiting for Congress to fix the situation a tiny bit before they go about addressing it.
Well, and Arlen Specter and others are over there saying, well, we voted for this expecting the Supreme Court to fix it for us.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that just points out what a big problem this is. One of the commanders of the base, Jay Hood, said that he acknowledged that a lot of the people there were low level to no level and that they deserve to be sent home, but he said the problem is no one wants to be the one to sign the release orders, and there's no muscle in the system.
Shane, thank you.
The courts are supposed to be the muscle.
Thank you for your work, and thanks for staying late to talk with us tonight.
No, thanks for having me.
Shane Katadal, Center for Constitutional Rights. Their website, ccr-ny.org. Call me in the Free Speech Zone next, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? more people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
In fact, let's take a stroll in John McCain's Baghdad, shall we? First, you have to have the right shoes. We recommend combat boots with a steel toe. And then you want the proper vests. We recommend Kevlar. Not military issue. They're defective. You'd want to bring your own from Walmart in Phoenix. And then, of course, for a good Sunday afternoon stroll in Baghdad, you'd want some company. Let's say about 100 troops with automatic weapons. And then, of course, you'd want to travel in style from the Green Zone to this market that was picked for its presumed safety. You'd want to get in a convoy of armored military vehicles. And maybe have three Blackhawks circling overhead to keep an eye from the sky. Then you could stroll, John McCain style. Our music of the moment from way back in 1963 or 64. It's the Ventures called Walk, Don't Run. And if you happen to have been listening from the get-go of today's program, you heard Jameson J-Mo Foser from Media Matters share with us the outright lie that Matt Drudge reported and was picked up by right-wing media today, to the effect that a CNN reporter heckled McCain and his colleague Senator Lindsey Graham in the news conference they held after their stroll in Baghdad yesterday. It's flatly not true. Michael Owen is the reporter, and he said not only didn't he heckle these guys, but he didn't get to ask a question at the news conference, and about the time he put his hand up to do so, they abruptly ended the news conference. So it appears that Drudge was a little ahead of the story. And if somebody had attempted to provoke the reporter, Michael Ware, into this kind of, alleged misbehavior, that was the step they forgot. Or they forgot to tell Drudge that they hadn't quite provoked him into doing this. So it's all kind of bizarre. And John McCain wants us to believe that because he put on a flak jacket with 100 troops around him, and they kept the crowds away from him as he strolled through this public marketplace in Baghdad, that the surge is working. How desperate has John McCain become? I used to respect the guy. I've never agreed with his politics. He's far too conservative for me. But he was a war hero, a POW. A man who attempted to stand up to Bush about torture. And then it kind of became clear that if he'd go along with Bush, Bush would support his run for president. And so McCain has hired all of the gunslingers, except for Karl Rove and a couple of others. Somehow he thinks he's going to be the next president of the United States. Somebody break it to him, will you? It's over, McCain. It's over. And you're going to find out sooner or later. It appears it's going to be later. And somebody ought to take the keys to the Straight Talk Express away from him and just park that damn thing. Susan in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You have more rights than David Hicks does.
I certainly do. Well, maybe I don't. I guess it depends what I say and what I do.
Right.
On these folks. Yeah, I was just thinking, hearing that McCain story again, that, you know, the San Francisco mime troupe couldn't have done it better.
Yeah.
It really feels like that, like this massive circus that's going on and a big satire of its own self. Yeah, I wanted to thank your guest. I knew Morton Stavis, who was one of the founders of CCR.
Oh.
He was not only our lawyer, but he was also my aunt's employer for many years, and
Now, is he the board member who passed away recently?
No, he passed away a number of years ago now.
Okay.
He actually had an accident, and they were visiting out here, and he had some internal bleeding, I guess. And,
oh.
They didn't realize it, but he was phenomenal. He's the guy who sprung the woman, I can't remember her whole name, was Kelly, the one who was accused of sexually molesting kids in child care in New Jersey and went to jail. Mm. Young, lovely woman. And it was Morty's interest in that case that freed her.
I see.
But, it's really neat to see this second generation of lawyers taking up the cause because there's practically nobody there who was there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great. I wanted to thank him because I hear more and more of them. And, you know, they may not have the stature that Morty had or Noam Chomsky or those guys, but...
Mm-hmm.
They're doing great work.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because we do talk on a regular basis with Michael Ratner, the president of CCR, but I'm equally impressed with the staff attorneys there. Geetan Jolly Gutierrez, Geeta, has been on our program many times. Shane, who you heard,
mm-hmm.
and
heard another one.
Bill Goodman is legal director there. And these are people who are all very bright and very committed, and also very strategic. I mean, they understand the difficult political climate that we operate in this current era.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they manage themselves and operate in a diplomatic way that enhances their work without turning them into fresh targets.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that continues because... I know how difficult it was for these folks, Morty and all those folks, during the, the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so aware of it all.
Yeah, you must be really old. Thank you, Susan.
I'm not. Thanks, Peter.
Peter V. is checking in from Monterey or Salinas. Where are you today, Peter?
I'm in Salinas, Mr. Collins. Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you?
Well, Peter, I was going to award the truly April Fool Award to our illustrious illuminator, the president, when he declared that Alberto Gonzalez was both honorable and honest. I thought that indeed was a bad enough joke, but wait, along comes John McCain, putting on his favorite California suntan to stroll the streets of Baghdad and to buy a rug or two. All the while, the month of March proving to be one of the deadliest months for civilians and soldiers alike, with 1,837.
Oh, don't confuse me with statistics. The surge is working.
You know, Peter, these people seem to be operating under the Ronald Reagan premise that although the facts show differently, they believe what they see and are indeed scripted from the time they enter the green zone to the time they return back to the United States. Would you agree?
I would, yeah. I mean, it's all just for show and PR. I do think that American soldiers are bristling when they are used for these photo ops as props and backdrops. And I wonder if John McCain took a little time to go talk to some grunts while he was in Baghdad and say, "What's up, Big Daddy? How's it going?"
Oh, Peter, please. I mean, that would be asking too much. That would be actually asking to participate in this occupation in Iraq at the boot level. And that, for this particular crowd, is never going to happen. Thank you, Peter.
All right. Thank you for the call today, Peter. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open if you'd like to join me in the free speech zone. You can comment on any subject we've been talking about or even something we haven't discussed. Chris and Salinas, you're next. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Peter.
How you doing today?
Okay.
Good.
Hey, on Friday, you were speaking with Vince Kohler.
That's right.
And I misunderstood something that he said about the paper ballots being offered by the poll workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to apologize to him because I thought he had said that the poll workers were instructed to offer paper ballots. What I didn't hear was that if they were asked by the voter. So my apologies to Vince for any insinuation that I might have questioned, you know, his truthfulness on that statement.
Okay, well, you're a gentleman, and I appreciate that, and I'm happy to pass that along. I did listen pretty carefully, Chris, to what you said, and I believe you said that you didn't call Vince Kohler a liar. You said it was a lie that people were offered paper ballots.
Right.
That's what I recall you saying.
The part that doesn't get told in this whole story is that, yes, they were instructed, if someone asks for a paper ballot, give them one. The only problem is people were leaving the polls, and the poll workers were also instructed, it is under my assumption or my knowledge, that they were told, if they told a voter that there's a paper ballot available, they were threatened with either expulsion or they were threatened with expulsion, and there was a case where one gentleman was expelled from the polling place for offering paper ballots to voters,
mm-hmm.
even though they were available. They weren't supposed to tell them unless they asked. And I think that's just outrageous.
Well, I agree. And so, number one, I accept the comments you've made, and I think it's you know, proper and also commendable that you're willing to apologize for what you said. But I listened very carefully because, you know, it's my job to try to make sure that people don't, in a rash manner, use language that is inappropriate or even perhaps actionable. But I listened carefully to what you said, and I don't believe you called Vince a liar. I think you said that the statement that paper ballots were available was a lie or were made available.
Just a blanket statement on my part. I don't think I did either, but but if it's construed as that, I want to apologize.
Okay. Got
Thank
it.
Thank you very much, Peter.
All right, Chris.
Good work.
You bet, and I appreciate your call. And also, I thought that Vince Kohler represented himself well in our discussion on Friday and acknowledged the work of Save Elections, Chris and Larry, and others in Monterey County. He acknowledged the issues related to hackable electronic voting machines. And so I think it was a good exchange, and I appreciate all the parties who participated. A couple of follow-ups here before we go to a break, and then I'm inviting you, and that means you, to call in, because it's the free speech zone, and I have room for two or three more calls before the end of the hour. And I would particularly invite a first-time caller to pick up the phone and give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. In the 4 o'clock hour Pacific time today, David Dionisi joined us. His new book is called American Hiroshima. And I'm very impressed with this man. As I described him to you, he is a former Republican, retired Army intelligence officer. He doesn't believe the stories we've been told about 9/11. He's sharply critical of our government's unilateral military action in the Middle East. And he also has some very strong concepts about building peace, about a Department of Peace. And I think he's quite credible. He's not out there on the woo-woo fringe or any way that you would care to marginalize the efforts of the pro-peaceniks in this country. I think he escapes those kinds of phony labels. At any rate, David followed up with an email after he was on the air, and he said that he had intended to let listeners know, and it's not his fault, the time was limited, that he's willing to give a free presentation regarding how peacemakers can prevent war, and in particular, prevent war with Iran. And he's willing to give a free presentation to groups in the San Francisco, San Jose, and Sacramento areas. I'll bet he'd come to Monterey if you asked him. And so if you go to the website, teachpeace.com, that's where you can find information on David Dionisi's efforts. And there's a page there with a speakers bureau and other information, too. But the main URL is teachpeace.com. And as I say, I find David Dionisi to be quite credible and very dedicated to this cause. And so if you're so inclined, visit the website Teach Peace and see if you'd like to invite him to come and speak to a group of yours. And we'll ride the peace train here into the next break and then talk to you on the other side here in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5-PETER-B.
I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
The world is one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come.
Friday, 7:25 a.m.
I'm calling to register my disappointment in this decision that you made today to put the show on for 2 hours. It's barely listenable for 5 minutes, let alone 2 hours. I don't understand the thinking to take the show over an intelligent and funny, informative program such as Stephanie Miller or any of the other talk shows. I think it's a bad decision. You've lost me as a listener. I will now listen online to other stations.
End of messages.
People try to put us to death. Just because we can get around.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
It's a minivan blocking the second lane from the right. From the right. Well, no, actually, I'm not. I'm not pissed at anyone.
It looks like Highway 94.
I guess
here in San Diego, it's a two-vehicle crash. No. It is off to the shoulder.
I mean, I guess, yes, I could be pissed.
Westbound 54, I-5.
I hear what you're saying, but... Also, mine is not quite as fresh as your situation. You there? And finally, we're going to look at southbound. Oh, yeah. Southbound 15 and 56, slow traffic being reported there. Sandy. Hold on, let me just tip this end up. Let's take a look at the Coronado Bridge. Everything looking pretty good. In fact, traffic is at the speed limit.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. An objection to Cat Stevens' music? Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry. It's 9 minutes away from the hour. We're in the free speech zone, and there's nobody on the line. So nobody has an opinion, I guess, about the big issues of the day. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to prove me wrong, nobody. 888-573-8372. Did you hear about Matthew Dowd? This is an amazing story. This guy converted to Republicanism in Texas around about 1999 so that he could jump on the Bush bandwagon and make millions of dollars as a media consultant producing and placing the television ads that helped propel George W. Bush to the Supreme Court decided election in the year 2000. And Matthew Dowd has gone public after some soul searching with some sharp criticisms of his former boss. He said, "I really like him, which is probably why I'm so disappointed in things. I think Bush, in my view, has become secluded, bubbled in." And he now criticized the president for failing to call the nation to a shared sense of sacrifice at a time of war, failing to reach across political divide to build consensus, and ignoring the will of the people on Iraq. He said he believes the president has not moved aggressively enough to hold anyone accountable for the abuses at Abu Ghraib, and that Bush still approached governing with a my way or the highway mentality. Now, these are criticisms, among others, that some people, like me, have been leveling since about the second day the Bush administration took office. And I'm pleased that Matthew Dowd has figured this out. And I'm doubly pleased that he's willing to go public and offer these sharp criticisms of the man he helped put in office. And this shows a fissure, a fracture in the Republican establishment, in the neocons, because, let's face it, political media consultants are people with the most flexible ethics. And I say that with some knowledge. I have worked as a political media consultant, and I'm rare because I don't take the business of just anybody who asks me to work on their campaign. I've only worked for people whose politics I support and whose credibility I believe in. But I've met many competitors in this business who don't let those kinds of things get in their way of making a good living. And so Matthew Dowd is a political gunslinger for hire. And he's finally found his own limits. Matthew Dowd, welcome from the rest of us. It's not too late to join the party, but you are a little late, I'll say that. Now to James in Oregon. Thanks for your call, James. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you very much, Peter.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I thought I'd give a little tidbit of information for you and the rest of the listeners out there. The next time they watch George W. across the front of the White House lawn, that's the walk of somebody that's just been smoking crack.
Now, what makes you say that? I've never smoked crack. I can honestly say that. So I don't know. I don't know how I would walk if I smoked crack. What does it do to your walk?
You can't feel the ground beneath your feet.
Really?
Really. It is an anesthetic.
Uh-huh. But what if he has those, you know, those gelin insoles in his shoes? He's not on crack. He's just gelin.
Right. I wish. I smoked crack one night. Yeah? And for 4 days afterwards, I was walking the walk.
Really?
One night. That's uh-huh. all I had to do was one night. And I knew I never wanted to go back there.
Uh-huh. Now, what is crack? What is the high like? Just tell us, James, because I'm sure many listeners like me have never smoked it or, you know.
It's like having a great big giant cavern inside of your body, and you close your eyes, and you sort of go into this big cavern, this big dark cavern, and you sort of swish around in a circle, sort of.
Yeah.
And the noises around you really don't make any sense until somebody starts talking to you and you have to focus.
Okay, now, when you were high on crack, did it make you want to send troops to a useless war and then add more when it was apparent that things weren't working out?
I was putty. You could make me do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was putty.
All right. Now, James, are you operating here on a fun level, or do you actually believe George W. Bush has been smoking crack?
Oh, I know it. It's no joke.
Yeah?
He's known to have had a cocaine habit at the same time as an alcoholic. And I watched him walk across the front house, the White House lawn, and get in on his way to the helicopter, and I said, holy shit.
Let's not say that again, because that could cost me. That's an interesting observation, James. All I can tell you is that the tabloids at my grocery checkout counter report that Bush has been drinking pretty steadily, that he gets drunk in the evenings and is wild and difficult and abusive, and that Laura has been spending a lot of nights at a nearby hotel. But I have no actual credible confirmation of that, only these tabloid stories that, you know, can be true when they're dealing with humans, not so much when they're dealing with aliens.
Well, he has to drink an awful lot of alcohol in order to keep your blood thinned out because cocaine constricts the arteries.
Mm-hmm. All right, James, thank you for your armchair diagnosis, and it's nice to know we have a former crackhead listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Until we meet again.
Happy trails, friends. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same stations. Hope you'll join me. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A Supreme Court ruling today tears down the Bush administration's position on emissions linked to global warming.
This is a legal slap at the administration, which for 6 years under the EPA has said it has no authority to regulate greenhouse gases and, by extension, global warming. The Supreme Court today said, no, you do have the authority to regulate air pollution, and greenhouse gases are air pollution.
CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews, this ruling has major implications for American car companies. Correspondent Anthony Mason has that part of the story.
From the outset, U.S. automakers have resisted tougher emission standards, and the EPA has been on their side. Now, suddenly, the picture has changed.
We hope this ruling will be seen by them as a cold bucket of water in the face.
David Hawkins of the Natural Resources Defense Council says transportation accounts for 20% of all greenhouse gas emissions.
Every mile that a car is driven puts about a pound of carbon dioxide pollution into the air.
What started the court battle is the California law that would require all new vehicles to cut greenhouse gas emissions 30% by 2016. It's been more than a week now, and CBS News correspondent David Martin says there are signs the standoff between Iran and Britain might soon be resolved.
Iran, now that it has confessions from all of the British sailors, seems to be softening its stance a little bit. Its top negotiator now says there's no need to put them on trial, and the British Foreign Office seized on that statement and said it's all for holding talks as soon as possible.
27-year-old Robert Daniel says he's being treated worse than an inmate. He's confined to a cell at a county hospital in Phoenix because he has a rare drug-resistant strain of tuberculosis. Dr. Robert England, the TB control officer, got a court order to lock Daniels up because he refused to wear a mask in public.
Our interest in public health is only to make sure that an individual who might expose others is isolated, and it's only a very uncommon individual who we would need to isolate.
Daniels says only visitors, his only visitors are the masked medical personnel who deliver his medication. He caught TB while living in Russia. Florida.